Maybe you've seen a situation where a mature believer suddenly collapsed in a public failure, financial scandal, moral or sexual failure. How in all the world could that have happened?
That is a great question, Colin. How in the world could that have happened?
Well, I think the answer is that behind the event that suddenly shocked everyone when it came to light, there was actually a growing pattern of sin building up a position in a person's mind and in the heart, and then suddenly the thing was exposed.
Well, this is Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, when these scandals do break and that sin is exposed, sounds like you're saying they're not just a split-second decision.
Well, at one level, that's probably the case. But behind the split-level decision, there's an awful lot else that's going on. Think of it this way. The weed of sin grows in a person's thoughts and in a person's heart long before there's a split-second decision to take some particular action. Mm-hmm. So we want to get at what's behind the action here, because that's where the battle's going to be won or lost.
Well, today we're continuing a message entitled Guerrilla Warfare. Hope you'll open your Bible and join us in James chapter 1. Here's Pastor Colin.
Here's what progress in a particular battle with a particular temptation will look like for you. I have found this so helpful, so helpful. It is not that you are no longer tempted. It is not even that you no longer fall or fail. It is that the power of sin that had a mastery over you is gradually and increasingly subdued. Its assault is less intense, less frequent. You do not give way to it as you used to. It has been cut back. It no longer has the position in your life that it once has. Sin has been weakened and grace has been increased. We're hacking this stuff back all the time. Hacking it back. Now, how are you to do that? Let me suggest this simple phrase that's very easy to remember. To be cutting sin back, you've got to act early and you've got to act often. Say that with me, would you? Act early. Act often. Again, act early and act often. That's the strategy that is of key importance in the spiritual battle. Think about the image of weeds in the garden. Where sin is unchecked, it builds a position in a person's life. It takes root further and further over the area of the garden. And the longer it is left alone, the stronger its root will be. So some of us even today are experiencing a battle with intense habits. How did they become intense habits? Because you did not address them a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. And you allowed it to grow. You were not in the fight. You're eyes were not open to where Satan was landing stuff on your flesh that was taking over your life. That's why David prayed for protection against this growth and spread of sin in his life. Psalm 19 and verse 13, this is a great prayer to use. David says, "Keep your servant from willful sins, that they might not rule over me." Oh God, in your mercy, help me to live with wisdom and grant to me your help and your protection so that I may not end up in a position where sin has spread and been rooted because I have neglected its growth in my life. Don't let me be that fool. Then in another psalm, David cries out to God because he sees that some particular sins have indeed taken hold in his life. I'm referring to Psalm 40 and verse 12. He says there, "My sins have overtaken me." Isn't that a striking phrase? There are some sins that I can identify and they've overtaken me. They've taken over. "I cannot see," he says. "They are more than the hairs of my head and my heart fails within me." Now, you might want, by the way, to use Psalm 40, if that is the position that you are in today. It is a wonderful prayer for a person who feels that they are in a situation where sin has gained a grip within your life. And you say, now it seems like it's everywhere. Oh God, where do I begin? You begin in Psalm 40. That's where David began. Maybe you've seen a situation where a mature believer suddenly collapsed in a public failure, a financial scandal, a moral or sexual failure. And here was this person who was held in high esteem, and you were completely taken by surprise. We've all had this experience, tragically, I expect, where someone who in some way or with some profile we were aware of, and we said, well, how in all the world could that have happened? And I'll tell you how it happened. Behind the event that suddenly became visible in the newspaper, suddenly became known to everyone in the circle, behind what became visible, sin was building a position in that person's life. The weeds had been growing in his thoughts and in his affections and in his imagination, and he had allowed them to grow. And then suddenly. But actually, it wasn't so sudden. It was not so sudden. It was just that all that was happening was not visible. And then suddenly it was. You see, this is the nature of the battle that we're engaged in, folks. It's real world, real life Christianity. Now, you may be saying at this point, boy, well, that sounds like it's a bit late for me because my sins have overtaken me. And the stronger the position of sin in your life, the deeper the particular pattern has been, the longer that it has been there, the harder it is for you to act, and the more important it is for you to act today. Oh, it would have been better if you had acted last week, last month, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But there will be no better time for you to act in coming to Jesus Christ and asking for grace to engage in warfare against this sin that has built a stronghold in your life than today. His grace is sufficient to you today. You put it off, you make it harder tomorrow. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Use Psalm 40 today. And come as David did when he felt that he'd been overtaken. And cast yourself with him on the grace and on the mercy of God. Share your need with another Christian. Ask for the strength of some prayer. Say, this cannot continue beyond today because God has spoken about it. And he's opening a door of grace. Friend, his grace is sufficient for you today. The power of his Spirit is available for you today. Act early. And act often. See, I want you to understand this. The struggle against the flesh is not a short battle. It is a long warfare. And this warfare is never concluded with one prayer. It is never concluded with one commitment. It is never concluded with one act of faith. It is begun with these things. It is sustained with these things. This battle involves a sustained and a relentless assault against every evidence of the sin that assails you. So your antenna is up and you're watching for that pride. You're watching for that self-pity. And you're asking that God will open your eyes to it and that God will help you to overcome it. And you're cultivating what is the opposite of it. You're humbling yourself. You're engaging in thanksgiving. Again, John Owen. Sin will not die unless it is gradually and constantly weakened. Gradually and constantly. Chipping away at an iceberg. Cutting back weeds. Gradually, constantly. Weakened. Spare it, and it will heal its wounds. and recover its strength. You may recognize this in your life. You may be able to look back to a time some period ago when you really got serious about seeking to deal with some sins that had built a position within your life, and you made some progress, and then you slackened off. And the weeds in the garden ended up being exactly where you were before, because you did not sustain the assault. You acted early, but you did not act often. Let no man think, says Owen, that he will kill sin with a few easy or gentle strokes. And I love the image that he uses. He says, he who has once smitten a snake, if he follow not up on his blow until the snake be slain, may repent that he ever began the quarrel. You get that? So he who undertakes to deal with sin and pursues it not constantly to death, not going to make much progress. So I'm saying to you that this relentless war against sin that so easily entices us, that has this landing strip, as it were, within our lives, within our own flesh, it is fought in this way by act early and act often. Act early and act often. Third, sin destroys, and so treat it as an enemy. James has been telling us that sin entices, then he tells us that sin grows, and now he tells us that sin destroys. Sin, when it is full grown, verse 15, gives birth to death. It kills. That's what he's saying. Unchecked, it brings death. It's what happens. So to change the analogy from the garden to the house, if you smell smoke in your house, you know, sitting there in your armchair, your lazy boy, your feet are up or whatever, you think, smells like smoke. You do not say, hey, smells like smoke. Huh, wonder where that's coming from, and carry on reading the newspaper. Why? Because smoke is an indication of fire, and fire is incredibly destructive. So what do? You act immediately. You put down the paper. You go sniff this thing out until you track it down to its source. Sin kills. Sin leads to death. You can't mess about with it. Like fire in the house, you leave it, it destroys. So Owen puts it this way. He says, be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. He takes that from Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, where we're told to put to death by the Spirit the misdeeds of the body. Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. He's talking about that which lurks within your own soul. Deal with it radically. Remember this, that being at war with sin does not make you at peace with God. That would be salvation by works, wouldn't it? To say to be at war with sin means to be at peace with God. That would be salvation by works. But here's salvation by grace. To be at peace with God means that you are at war with sin. And a person who is not at war with sin is not at peace with God. You live according to the sinful nature. What does Paul say in Romans? You die. Why do you die? You're not a Christian. If you're not engaged in this fight. Well, you may say, I've got this belief about Jesus, but what evidence is there of his life within you if you're not engaged in this fight? Really? These are serious warnings. Sin kills. Do not deceive yourself into thinking that a mere belief has made you a Christian. And even within the life of a believer, sin that is allowed to grow brings its own kind of death. Owen describes it in this way. Sin weakens the soul and it darkens the soul. Remember David says in Psalm 32, he says, when I hid my sin, and David here is a believer, and yet there was something that he hid. He just pressed it down, did not bring it in confession before God, did not deal with it, did not face up to it. And he says, here's what happened. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. I was exhausted. I was exhausted. Why was he exhausted all the time? He was exhausted because there was no life, no vitality, no spiritual energy within him. It was drained out, weakened by unconfessed sin. Sin weakens the soul and sin darkens the soul. Owen describes sin as a thick cloud that spreads itself over the face of the soul and intercepts all the beams of God's love and favor. Could this be why you have lost a sense of the love of God? Could this be why you have lost joy and meaning in worship, vigor in prayer, readiness in testimony? You remember Jonah in the ship when there are all these people who do not know God and he's the only man who does and he cannot speak. Why has he got nothing to say? Because there's stuff in his life that he's not dealt with before God. He's silent. He's useless. Let me ask you this question. How would you describe the state of your spiritual life today? Would you say that your love for Christ is vigorous? Or has it become weakened as sin has become vigorous in your life? Now, if at this moment you are discouraged by your own failures, I want you to remember that Satan regularly overplays his hand, if I can coin a phrase. He does. He overplays his hand. And here's the most wonderful thing that may be happening for you right now as the word of God is proclaimed. It would be a wonderful triumph of God's grace if the very sin that Satan has used to so weaken you should today be the means of awakening you to your need of Christ and to cause you to cry out for the help of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit were to bring you today to the place where you say, I feel my need right now of being washed in the blood of Jesus. I feel my need of a strength that is greater than my own because in my own strength I've just given up. Well, you know what is happening? God is shining the light of hope into your heart right now. He's drawing you. Satan's overplayed his hand as far as you are concerned, and right now God is dealing with you in mercy and in grace. So look to Jesus Christ. He says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Greater is the one who is in you, that's the Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world. And you can say, as you look to Jesus Christ today with the help of his Spirit, you can say, though I have fallen, yet I will rise. And though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. One story, then we're through. Tuesday of this week, I received an email from a member of the congregation, and I read it to you with his permission. It illustrates someone taking sin seriously and the blessing of God upon it. Colin, last Sunday's sermon spoke to me in a special way. Last week, while I was at, and he names a particular service garage, I was displeased about an issue regarding the service, and I spoke inappropriately to one of the managers. I came home to get on my knees to ask God's forgiveness. I was so convicted and knew that I was way out of line. Sunday morning at church, I thought, what would I say and what would he think if he came to the orchard today? Then your sermon was directed to me. You indicated that each of us has different battles. I wish mine wasn't so obvious. But God spoke to me and I knew what I needed to do. I don't like going back and being humble enough to make things right, but how could I engage in ministry at the church under these circumstances? It was as if big, bold letters were on my forehead, and he types it in bold, hypocrite. Colin, I went back and apologized and told the manager I was wrong because I belong to Christ, and what I said was not appropriate for me who wants to bear the name Christian. The response, the manager said, I'm a Christian too, and you just made my day. You've given me courage. The man writes, I relate this story as a demonstration of God's grace. He takes lemons and makes lemonade. And then his last line is, what will God be saying to me next weekend? The following day, another email from the same man to say that he had received a phone call from the manager at the service garage. It's hard to believe, it's hard to believe what he said. He indicated that that evening he told his wife and then his 13-year-old son about what had happened. I didn't think there was anybody like you, he said. And I've repeated the story about you coming to me several times, never using your name, but each time it has brought tears to my eyes. I will never forget what you did. Please stop in next time you have your car serviced. He concludes, Colin, I could never have dreamt that obedience could result in such an outcome. The end result, two guys praising God because one man took his sin seriously.
A really powerful story as we wrap up today's broadcast entitled Guerrilla Warfare. You know, when we take sin seriously, when we battle that sin in our lives, God does amazing things. And I hope today's broadcast has been an encouragement to you. And maybe as you've listened, you've pulled out some real tangible applications for your own life and your own battle against sin. Colin, I'm going to put myself in the shoes of the person who says, I hear that story about the guy who goes back and apologizes to the mechanic, and they say, you know what? I could never do that.
Well, this is where the good news is that God gives you the power to do what he commands. That's gospel. Otherwise, we'd just be doing law, you know? Mm-hmm. God says, do this, and then I have to make up my mind whether I can do it. Well, that would simply be law. But gospel, God gives to us the power to do what he commands.
All right, so I hear you say that, but man, that is such a tough thing to do. What do you mean he's going to give me the power to do this? What does that look like?
Well, you know, every time you go into a store where there are sliding doors, here's these great glass doors and they're closed in front of you. And you say, well, how will these doors open? You step on a mat and the things open. Well, it's as you move forward and take a step of faith that God enables this thing that seems so impossible to happen. This is what the life of faith is. It's trusting God, taking him at his word, and stepping forward in obedience to do what he calls us to do.
And so for the person who says, I'm still struggling to do that, you'd say, maybe we ought to be praying for more faith?
And praying for more faith as we step forward to do it.
That's a great challenge, Colin. Thank you. And if you want to go back and listen to this message again, very practical message entitled Guerrilla Warfare, you can come to our website, openthebible.org, and listen to today's broadcast and any of the previous programs in this series. You can also ask about ordering a copy of this message or the series, The Inside Story of the Christian Life, when you call us at 1-877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 1-877-OPEN-365. Well, thanks for listening today. For Pastor Colin, I'm Steve Hiller, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported broadcast of Open the Bible. The addict's greatest need is not to stop gambling, looking at pornography, or drinking or taking drugs. Find out why when you join Pastor Colin Smith for the next Open the Bible.